bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of World Media Ministries or Christ the King Radio.
Welcome to the I Am Love Builders Radio Show here on Christ the King World Radio. That's ctkradio.org. You are tuned in with your hosts, Casper and Cheryl Stockham, and we're glad to have you with us today. I Am Love Builders is a show that is devoted to all things dealing with relationships and communication. Whether you are married or single, you will enjoy the show.
Hey.
Hey, honey. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
You know what? You have to be on your best behavior.
Why is that?
We have an attorney in the studio today.
We have my friend,
Maria. Oh, here we go.
The attorney.
He's always trying to get a friend here and there. Okay. Your friend, Maria, is here in the studio with us today.
Yes.
Good morning, Maria. How
Good
are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
You don't mind if we fight over you, do you?
Oh, not in the least. But as you and I both know, Casper needs all the friends he can get.
Touche. Okay. Very good. See, Maria is secretly my friend.
I see. Not a secret anymore.
Maria Lopez. I'm going to read Maria's bio for you this morning.
Okay.
Maria, a 1995 graduate of the University of Denver College of Law, Maria was admitted to the Colorado Bar in 1996, and she has spent the majority of her law career providing clients with guidance through the cycles of life in the areas of estate planning, trust, and estates, special needs planning, charitable planning, probate, and elder law. Prior to her law career, Maria earned a certificate of financial planner designation in 1986 and has over 20 years of combined experience in the financial services industry as well as fee-based financial advisor, senior advanced market consultant, and regional vice president. Wow, Maria, you have a lot of credentials going on here.
Yeah. And that's just a quarter of the bio.
Yeah, a quarter of the bio. That's a lot. So, but we're happy to have you here on the show with us today.
Well, I am happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah.
We're glad because our show is about relationships. We're about families, husbands, wives, children, all areas of communication, all areas of relationship. And you have a very, from what you kind of share with me, this is a very intense area that you work in.
Yes.
It can be, yes, unfortunately.
So tell us a little bit about your day-to-day.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, just because of my background, what I try and do is preventative law on the front end. Preventative law would be to make sure that your estate is in place the way you want it to be.
Okay.
And when I say estate, I'm not talking necessarily just about, you know, your wills or your trust, but that's important also.
Mm-hmm.
But in this day and age, we're all living a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And in this day and age, as a result, we want to make sure that you have the proper powers of attorney in place and that the people that you've selected to act on your behalf in the event you are not able to are the ones that are proper. It's no different than when you're putting together a team.
Mm-hmm.
You put together a team not based upon the person, but based upon the skill sets needed for that team member's position.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I find clients that say, well, I want my children to be the powers of attorney. And then when we're talking about it, when I explain to them what the role requires, they sometimes go, oh, well, that's probably not a good idea. But then they feel guilty because they say, well, shouldn't it be my son or my daughter or whomever? And I say, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Yeah.
What it needs to be is the person who has the skill sets to do the things that they need to do.
And just because you don't designate that specific son or daughter doesn't mean that they won't get what it is that the parent may have designated for them to have. The person who they may select is just there to help, is that execute their wishes?
Right. So, for example, what we were talking about just now were the powers of attorney, and that's for financial and or medical. So let's say, for example, if something happens to Casper, he's still alive, but for whatever reason cannot make financial or medical decisions for himself. Someone has to be able to step in. You as his spouse have first priority, but unless he has, let's say, for example, he has designated someone else under a power of attorney. That person has priority over you, even though you're the spouse. And so that's the person that has to make those decisions for him. Now, it has nothing to do with who gets what. It's to make the decisions for Casper while he's alive.
So it could be the medical power of attorney.
Could be financial.
Financial power of attorney.
Right, exactly.
And they could all be different
people. Oh, yes, absolutely. Again, it's based upon skill sets. And does it mean that they have to be different? No. If the one person can meet all the requirements, if you will, prerequisites, then that's fine. There's no problem with that.
Right.
Okay. If it's an individual. If it's a professional, however, in Colorado, you're only allowed to fill one position. So if you have a professional fiduciary, he or she can only act as either your conservator or your guardian.
Okay, now you're using big words. Now
I'm using big words. And actually, well, let me distinguish. Okay, if you have a power of attorney, then you are acting as the agent under power of attorney. And the term that I just used, guardian or conservator, that's a court-appointed person.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, Casper didn't have any powers of attorney and something happens, all right? And for those assets that are not held jointly, let's say, for example, his IRA or something like that, and you needed to access that, you wouldn't be able to. Because that's only Casper's in Casper's name alone.
Well, we're going to change that.
No, well, you can't on the IRA. that can only be held in one person's name.
Okay.
But then, so let's say, for example, you needed to access that. You're not his agent under power of attorney. He has no powers of attorney in place. You then would have to petition the court to be appointed his guardian and conservator.
Okay.
Now, you as an individual can be both a guardian and a conservator.
Okay.
But if it's a professional, they can only fill one position. So what are those positions? What do those positions mean? In some states, guardianship, conservatorships are the terms are used synonymously. In Colorado, they are separate, distinct positions.
Okay.
A guardian, if you think of it, is the person who takes care of his medical decisions. You guard a person. The conservator is the person who would manage the assets. You conserve and manage assets.
Okay.
So a lot of times it's easier to understand. You guard a person, you conserve assets. But those are court-appointed positions. And those are the times when if you don't have the powers of attorney in place, then that's when we have to go through a whole petitioning process to the court. And that can be long and involved, and that can also in itself can be contentious.
So the moral of the story is have a power of attorney so you don't have the state or the courts deciding what happens to your assets.
No, the court doesn't decide what happens to your assets.
Well, I mean, decide who is going to decide what happens to your assets.
Right, and that's not necessarily a bad thing for the court to decide that. Because for a person to be appointed the guardian or conservator, you have to meet certain requirements by the court. For example, you have to pass a criminal background check. You have to be able to submit credit reports. Because obviously the court wants to know that whoever's making the decisions for you does not have some baggage that might adversely affect your situation.
Yeah, well, that eliminated half my family, so that's good. And they won't be guarding any of my stuff.
No, you guard person, you conserve stuff.
Okay, so
they will be guarding me or
conserving anything. So the one question I had, when people hear the word estate in times past, when you heard that word, you automatically think of people who have great wealth and riches and have lots of money. They have estates. But that's not necessarily so, is it?
No, an estate can be any amount of money. nominal amount of money, $1,000, $2,000, mm-hmm. you know, your used car. An estate is what you own or have ownership interests on.
Okay.
And a lot of people forget that included in your estate, let's say, for example, you have a group insurance, life insurance benefit. Most employees have that. Mm-hmm. That is part of your estate.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize that. Or even any life insurance that you own.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of your estate.
Okay.
So consequently, a lot of people think of estate as being the equivalent of net worth assets minus liabilities.
Right.
No, it's assets minus liabilities plus any insurance benefits.
Okay.
So consequently, a lot of times people have an estate greater than they would have even imagined because they don't look at it
that way.
That way,
yes. That's very good.
Right.
Okay. That's excellent. So here's my other question. Is there any – let's see what get my words right here. Charitable planning, what is that?
Charitable planning, it allows you to leave assets to a charity.
Okay.
For example, you know, if you wanted to leave money to, say, Denver Dumb Friends League,
okay.
you know, American Cancer Society, and so forth, how would you go about that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's a matter of we do some – it's centered around some tax planning, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be just simply a matter of this is your favorite charity
mm-hmm.
and you want whatever portion of your estate that you want to go to that charity. How do we do that?
Okay.
And those are the things that we talk about. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want the gift to be a restricted or versus non-restricted? And that simply means that if I give X amount of dollars to Denver Dumb Friends League, for example, I might say you can use it for whatever purpose that you want, for your general purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might say it can only be used to provide direct services such as placement of animals, et cetera.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Very good. So we're going to have some more questions for Maria because
– Yes, my friend Maria.
Yes, your friend Maria, because I'm looking at her bio and what she does encompasses a lot.
Yes.
And I do believe that our listeners and families need to be aware.
Absolutely.
And know what to do.
Absolutely. So you're listening to I Am Love Builders with Casper and Cheryl Stockham here on Christ the King World Radio. That's ctkradio.org. You can find us at iamlovebuilders.com. You can also go to Facebook and do a search for I Am Love Builders. We want you to go over there and do a love tap. And that means tell a positive story. When you do that, we'll share that story and we'll share your information on the show as well. We are aired from at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. We'll see you here in a few minutes. I hear the birds singing, now my alarm's ringing. Get up, hey.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. If you're in the Denver metro area and you need internet, get it now for $1 a day. No bundles, no hassles, and only a 12-month contract. For more information, call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
The Kingdom Connection Christian Center, 10680 Delmar Parkway, Aurora, Colorado, invites you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. for our Sunday praise and worship service. Our teachings are biblically based and our worship fresh and exciting. If you're in the Denver metro area, visit us in person or visit us online at kcconline.org. Join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. in the Rocky Mountain time zone for the Kingdom Connection Christian Center Sunday praise and worship service.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Welcome back to the I Am Love Builders Radio Show here on Christ the King World Radio. You're here with your hosts, Casper and Cheryl Stockham, and we're excited to have in the studio with us today
a mutual friend.
a mutual friend, an attorney, Attorney Maria Lopez. And Maria is here, and she is, her area of expertise, we shall say, is in the areas of, because she has quite a few of them here, and these are areas that I have found to be, that can be intimidating mm-hmm. and overwhelming. There's yeah. a lot of moving parts and pieces and things that could really explode and go wrong if you don't do it just right, huh, Maria?
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, that's what we see too often.
Yeah. So Maria here, her area is, I want to make sure I get all this right, is special needs planning, charitable planning, probate, and elder law. Is that it?
That's a good broad stroke, yes.
Wow. Okay. And those things to me are just very overwhelming because they can be very technical, and the whole, I guess the whole legal wording to me is just intimidating, Maria.
Well, it seems like it's an area that we all know needs to be talked about.
Yes.
But we never talk about it. You know, it's like life insurance, you know, it's like, you know, a death in the family, you know, what are we going to do if this happens?
Right.
But we don't want to even think about it happening, but we know it's going to happen.
Or planning for a will.
Yeah.
It really, you know, people, how many times do we tell our parents over years, mom and dad, you need to do a will, you need to do a will, you need to do a will. Yeah. Finally, they sat down and done a will. And even you yeah. and I, honey,
we
haven't done a will, and we need special needs planning, and we haven't stepped into that yet.
And it's understandably, it's a psychological barrier, because a lot of people think, well, if I plan to die, then I'm going to die, and I'm trying to convince them, you will anyway.
Yeah. There's no way around it, huh?
Yeah, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It's a consequently, from a preventative standpoint, from an estate planning standpoint, mm-hmm. that's the front end. Mm-hmm. That's to make sure that whatever you have, and I liken the term, you know, I help you protect your assets
mm-hmm.
And your loved ones from creditors and predators. So that's
very
on
good.
The front end. But then on what we see on the back end, if you will, and that's mm-hmm. where it gets involved in much more litigation and highly contentious, and it can actually be emotionally devastating for
mm-hmm.
families.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and tell clients this, that as you're doing your estate planning, that let's talk about not only what it is that you want to accomplish in terms of who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
That's only half the battle. I said the other battle is to make sure that we try and maintain and preserve whatever familial relationships there are, that whatever that you do or don't do
mm-hmm.
doesn't end up resulting
mm-hmm.
in broken family relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's when it gets very emotional. It gets very contentious, because unfortunately then, for example, if you have a situation where the children haven't always gotten along,
mm-hmm.
but you as the parent have been there to kind of be the referee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the client tells me, oh, it'll be okay after I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and explain to them, if it's not okay while you're here
mm-hmm.
being the referee, what makes you think it's going to be any better?
Yeah.
when you're no longer here
right.
to act as the peacemaker?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, parents sometimes don't want to accept that reality of the family dynamics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that's where it becomes very difficult, because after the parent is gone, then you remember the show, Tommy Smothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, his adage was, well, mom always liked you best.
Yeah, right, yeah. right.
Well, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, whatever assets there are, it's not so much the dollar amount, rather the symbolism of, well, if mom and dad really loved me,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have done this.
Yes, yeah.
Right, right.
And so they really loved me. So now I'm going to fight what it was that they did,
mm-hmm.
because that's the only way I have of reaffirming mm-hmm. in my own mind that they really did, in fact, love me.
Yeah. There's a lot of dynamics going on.
And it gets very nasty. And mm-hmm. it gets, you know, as a result, whatever family relationships there might have mm-hmm. been, even just, you know, just threads of it, are destroyed.
And then for you, do you have to, does it get even more complicated depending on who comes to you as a client? In other words, if the parent comes to you and says, this is my wishes for my children, it's kind of one thing. But if a child comes to you, you know,
Or like maybe probate or...
Yeah. Right. So if a child comes to me after the parent has passed away, uh-huh. so the child may be coming to me as an heir mm-hmm. or as the personal representative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if they're coming to me as the personal representative, my job as the attorney then is to make sure that he or she performs their fiduciary duties in terms of administering the will mm-hmm. and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
If a child comes to me as an heir who wants to contest the will,
mm-hmm.
then that's a different story. Then right. it's a matter of, okay, then my job is to act as your gladiator and say, all right, if this is what you think you want, this is what we'll try and get for you. But by the same token, it's my duty also to tell you that based upon what you've told me, based upon what I've seen,
mm-hmm.
do you have a good chance of winning? Do you have actual grounds for contesting
right,
this?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you that, you know, your chances are slim to none
mm-hmm.
and you still want to pursue it,
mm-hmm.
then as the attorney, then it's my job to say, well, then you may have to find another attorney, or else I'd simply say, okay, if you're willing to accept those terms,
mm-hmm.
you know, the potential for losing mm-hmm. and at your own cost,
mm-hmm.
well, then I will fight for you.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it you're absolutely correct. The dynamics are totally different.
Wow.
That's just overwhelming. I just, probably the amount of family relationships, the potential for those relationships to be severed or destroyed is probably very great.
Very great, especially in light of society nowadays, where divorce rates are still in the 50% range. You have mm-hmm. the blended families,
mm-hmm.
and not all blended families are going to be the Brady Bunch type, you know,
okay.
where everyone gets along. What makes it really bad is when it's not a Brady Bunch, when there's resentment between one set of children versus another set of children,
mm-hmm.
Then that's when it gets really, really bad.
Like yeah. children from the first marriage versus children from the second marriage type of thing.
Right.
Well, we have the same mother, but we have two different fathers.
Exactly. Or it's even a matter of, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe he has children, she has children, but there's no ours. There may be his and hers, but no ours.
Right. Okay.
And so then it makes a difference of, well, how do you want it to go, your estate, after
mm-hmm.
you're both gone?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, we just want to treat all our children equally.
Okay.
And then that's what we do. Or mm-hmm. also one will say, well, I want to make sure that my spouse is provided for, but after that –
there's no provision for all the other.
Well, then after that, then you want, and if he or she says, but I want to make sure that whatever, you know, I have goes to my side of the family, goes to
mm-hmm.
my children and,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And there are ways to do that also. But if you don't do that, here's what happens. Let's say, for example, you and Casper, this was a second marriage for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
Or third,
or what have you. And you both have children, you know, from...
He's so silly.
Well, remember, he needs friends.
That's right. Mm.
So if you both have children from the previous relationships, mm. and you had said, Casper had said, well, I want to make sure Cheryl's provided
right.
for.
Okay.
But after that, I want to make sure that whatever's left over goes to my kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what he does then is he gives everything to Cheryl,
mm-hmm.
but then she passes away. Guess where that money goes? It goes only to your heirs, Cheryl. Unless you have made provisions in your will to provide for Casper's children,
uh-huh.
it only goes to your children. So what essentially happens there is, mm-hmm. inadvertently,
his children are upset now.
His children have been disinherited.
Mm.
And do his children have standing? Depending upon the situation in terms of documentation and
mm-hmm.
so forth,
mm-hmm.
little to none.
Wow.
Wow.
And Ooh. So it's those things that we try and look at is not only what appears on the immediate horizon,
mm-hmm.
but let's take things a few steps further to make sure that we don't have inadvertent consequences for your actions or inactions.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I bet you that you probably have seen some serious knockdown, drag-out fights and
oh, it's
yelling and screaming and hollering.
Maybe when I retire, I'll write a book.
Probably a movie. It'd be a miniseries.
You like dynasties.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's the adage? Fact is truer than fiction?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the case.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. This is scary. So your... what you would say to people is make sure that you make a plan. and be what specific, detailed about what it is you want to happen?
Well, not only make a plan, but make sure that the plan does actually, in fact, reflect what it is you want to have happen.
Okay.
Now, what some people do is they make a plan, mm-hmm. but they plan on their own. They'll either write their own will or they'll go to, you know, an online mm-hmm. type of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I had one situation where the children came to me for the probate and they said, they brought the copy of their dad's will. And I said, so, you know, who drafted the will before I even looked at it? Oh, we just did it online before he died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me take a look at it. And I said, where's the rest of it? And they said, what do you mean? It just says, you know, page, you know, 2 of 2 in the bottom. And, of mm-hmm. course, there was a little ad at the bottom. I thought that was rather funny. But then I said, well, where's the signature?
Oh.
And they looked at me and they said, signature?
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, yeah, it kind of needs to be signed and either witnessed or notarized.
Right.
Oh,
and
my.
There was nothing. So when you know, people do that, and I understand they say, oh, it's going to be so expensive if I go to attorney and all of this. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, just as with anything else, that there's a reason that you do what you do for a living. There's mm-hmm. a reason I do what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to self-medicate, I use the analogy of if you want to self-medicate as far as your estate goes, it's no different than you going down to the bookstore, getting a copy of a physician's desk reference, finding out what it is online your symptoms are, and then going out to a medical supply store and getting some scalpels. Are you going to operate on yourself? Does it make sense for you to operate on yourself? Because uh-huh. you have all the information,
right.
right? But you don't know how to put it together.
Mm.
By the same token, are you going to operate on your own child
right.
or on your own spouse?
Uh-huh.
And in fact, that's exactly what you're doing when you do it yourself.
Is this some Novocaine and...
Wow. I don't think so.
No?
No.
You're not coming at me with that scalpel.
Well, you're listening to I Am Love Builders Radio at CasperandSchultz.com here on Christ the King World Radio. That's CTKRadio.org. We air every day, 8 a.m. and then 8 p.m. as well. You can find us at IamLoveBuilders.com. You can also go to Facebook and do a search for I Am Love Builders. We want you to go over there and do a love tap. We also want to hear from you. If you have any questions or anything with dealing with communication relationships that you want us to answer for you or at least talk about it here on the radio, please do that. And we also want you to know that you can donate to CTK Radio. It's a nonprofit organization. And we're also looking for sponsors to the radio show. So if you want to be a sponsor or if you know someone that might be interested, please have them contact us. We'll see you here in just a few minutes.
I'm just living in this moment. I got my arms raised, unfazed, jump out of bed. Gotta get this party going.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of World Media Ministries, a 501c3 corporation, and Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone, everywhere. Not just teaching about the power, glory, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to provide positive, encouraging information on how to promote and maintain healthy interpersonal relationships and business practices. At this time, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on either of our website, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in helping us to continue to reach God's people and to promote the kingdom of God here on earth. Your gift is tax deductible, and you will receive an electronic receipt when you donate via the links on one of our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff and management, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Beat the high costs of other international money transfer services in the Denver metro area. Call World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, that is 720-275-1355.
Bringing light unto a dark world. Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
The views and opinions of the host or guest of the following program may not be those of the staff or management of World Media Ministries or Christ the King Radio.
I hear the birds singing, now my alarm's ringing. Get up, hey, it's a good morning. Wake up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the I Am Love Builders Radio Show. We are here in the studio, Casper and I, with our special guest, Attorney Maria Lopez, and we were talking about some very serious, intense, must be talked about things like...
No, it's like an artichoke.
Thank you, Casper. You were listening.
So Maria is here, and she's talking to us about trust, estate planning, special needs planning, probates, wills, all of that stuff that we, for the most part, don't want to have to deal with.
Right.
And so we're talking about that today. And
are you good?
Am I good? It's like, sound like I just cut out.
You're back.
I'm back. Okay. So, Maria, we have a question because my sister-in-law, Deborah, is on the line. She's in Arizona, and she has a son that has special needs. And as you know, Casper and I have a daughter named Faith, who has special needs. Now, Deborah's son is a little higher functioning than Faith, and so I'm going to let Deborah go ahead and ask her question. Are you there, Deborah?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. My question, Maria, is that, you know, in trying to set up for his future, you know, what kind of documentation, medical documentation of his condition am I going to have? Because I never had him diagnosed when he was in school because I didn't know that that was needed or required. And so I find that a lot of the services that I can't get for him because there's no diagnosis. So can you help me with how that impacts me setting up his future?
Okay, well, the two aspects of that is as far as when you say setting up for his future, one aspect of that is while you're alive, and I don't know what medical condition your son has, but if he has, you know, issues to where he cannot make any financial medical decisions for himself, then depending upon his age, if he's a minor, then you as the parent still have the ability to do that, to make those decisions for him or her. But once they become an adult, if he doesn't have powers of attorney in place, then that becomes a problem. And that's when you have to petition the court to become his guardian and or conservator. And in which case, at that time, there are going to be, you know, medical doctors, reports that are going to be required. The jurisdictions, I don't know, in Arizona, but I would imagine it can be, it's not going to be any more different than it is here in Colorado, where you have to show the court why he cannot make those medical or decision or financial decisions for himself. Mm-hmm. And in some instances, it's going to need to be supported by either testimony or even just doctor's reports. Mm-hmm. So you are going to have to be able to substantiate the need for that. Now, if he's still a minor, then you don't have to do that. But if the condition that he has is something that is either not going to go away or even perhaps get progressively worse when he becomes an adult, and that's what you're going to have to do. and get those guardianship conservatorship papers in place. Now, on the other end of the spectrum is, how do we make sure that he's provided for after you're gone, especially if you're the primary caregiver? I mean, just like with Casper and Cheryl, as far as Faith is concerned, then that's when we have to make sure that whatever it is that you want to leave for your child is going to be managed by someone who can manage the finances for her. And then also in terms of placement, where are we going to make sure that, that your son or Faith is going to be living, and who's going to be the caregiver for him or her.
Right.
So again, you've got two different aspects. You've got the financial aspect, and you've got the physical aspect of the actual caregiving. Now, when we're doing special needs planning, we take a look at all of those elements. And then we also want to make sure that if your child would be eligible for public assistance, say Medicaid and that sort of thing, then we want to make sure that whatever assets that you've left for him or her are not going to negatively impact their ability to get those benefits.
All right. Because I have heard, especially in the case of seniors, that if, like my parents, for instance, if they had any assets, that Medicaid would come in and take them away from them.
Well, they won't take them away. There's Medicaid simply going to say, we're not going to give you any benefits until such time as you now meet the threshold for Medicaid eligibility.
Okay.
But I thank you for pointing that out, because there's a distinction. Let's say, for example, your parents had said, well, I have too much assets, but I'm going to be needing to go into nursing home. Medicaid says I have too much. How do I get myself eligible?
Right.
Okay. So that is a different methodology versus whatever a third party is going to leave for their child. In your case, you know, for Faith, or in Deb's case, for her son, that is different. So that won't necessarily be counted against Faith or Deb's son, provided it's set up properly.
Okay.
But if you just leave it directly to Faith, or Deb leaves it directly to her son, well, all of a sudden, now that's his or her assets, and then whatever you try and do becomes first party planning.
Okay.
And that's when you have greater complications, greater eligibility requirements, and so forth, versus a third party trust set up for the individual.
Okay. So it sounds like to me, especially like both my nephew Philip and Faith, actually they're like a year apart. Philip is 31, Faith is 30. In Philip's case, Deb would probably have to have someone just help him manage his day to day, because he has a job, whereas Faith doesn't.
Okay.
Philip can hold down a job, and you know, he even can drive. You know, so she would just need to have someone assigned who would help him through those rough areas that he cannot handle.
Right. Probably in situations like that, he may just need someone to help him with on the financial side, in terms of negotiating leases or any contracts, that sort of thing, managing his day-to-day expenses, perhaps, you know, someone to help him with bill paying issues and so forth, on that higher functioning level. Now, again, not knowing what his condition is, if it's something that's going to deteriorate over time, then that's a different story. I mean, and when I say different story, then we have to take other things into consideration, other planning aspects into consideration.
Now, I hope Deb don't mind me asking this question, but it you said something about not having a diagnosis. So is Deborah going to have to get some type of diagnosis for Philip?
Well, In this particular case, Deb, it seems as if though with Philip, you might want to get him to an attorney to make sure that, number one, does he have the capacity to sign powers of attorney to appoint you, Deb, to make those decisions for him when he's no longer able to do so for himself. And when I say capacity, a lot of times people think of it in terms of does that mean, you know, you are highly functioning, or does that mean that you have, what are your cognitive requirements? And it differs based upon what it is that you're trying to do. For example, when we're doing estate planning and we're doing the wills, the example that I put in there is if a client comes to me and says, well, I want to leave my estate to these people. I want to carve these other people out. And I say, okay, fine, we can do that. And oh, by the way, I was also married to Elvis. And he's paying me my maintenance, so I want to make sure that, you know, that maintenance goes and so forth, mm-hmm. okay? So you stop and say, well, clearly she doesn't have capacity because if she thinks she was married to Elvis and she wasn't, you know, or that she's going to get married to Elvis, mm-hmm. we that does raise a red flag. But then in Colorado, the rule is that in terms of testamentary capacity is that you just have to know the people who would naturally inherit from you and what those assets are. Mm-hmm. So if you would say, well, I was married to Elvis, but I'm not going to leave him anything. Yes, there's some issues there, but that does not necessarily mean that she would not have testamentary capacity. Okay. Now, in Philip's case, his capacity would be based upon the doctor's assessment. And if he were to come to me, if he presents well, then unless I have other indications to say, you know, that I might, that he might not have the necessary capacity to enter into contracts, if you will. Mm-hmm. Then I would probably say, will you allow me to talk to your doctor to make sure that we have these things in place? Right. And I, as the attorney, then if I find that I don't think that he has capacity to sign these powers of attorney, then I have an ethical obligation to say, no, I cannot execute these for you.
Okay.
I cannot help you prepare these.
Hmm. What do you think, Deborah?
Well, I think there's some really good ideas, and it's helpful to know that, you know, that an attorney can help with that process, you know, because my problem was I didn't know where to start, you know. I mean, I had done some, you know, evaluation stuff with the state and the city, but they just labeled them as hidden disabilities. And because he had most of his issues while he was in school from the very beginning, they said it was a learning disability and he doesn't have a problem now. Well, that's not true because he does high-level cognitive issues of making decisions and things like that. He really just doesn't understand it. You know, it just kind of like goes over his head. And so it's just nice to know that there is a method way that I can get this taken care of. So very helpful information, Maria.
All right. Thank you, Deb. And the other thing that I would suggest is if you, you know, do seek legal counsel to do this, find an attorney that this is their primarily practice area of law, that they primarily do elder law and or estate planning. Mm-hmm. You don't want to necessarily go to, you know, what we refer to as door law, mm-hmm. where an attorney will take whatever walks in the door.
Right.
Okay.
And the reason is because these areas, especially with regard to special needs and Medicaid and so forth, is so technical that unless you do this on a regular basis, you can't possibly keep up with all of the changes.
Right.
Mm, very good.
Maria, you said primary specialty in estate planning, and what was the other one?
Elder law. Now, when you may say, well, why would I need an elder law attorney, Maria? You know, Philip's only, you know, in his 30s. Well, elder law encompasses the areas of special needs, as does estate planning, and also guardianship and conservatorship issues.
Okay.
So that's it's not just for old people.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. All right. You are listening to... You are listening to I Am Love Builders Radio Show here on Christ the King World Radio. That's ctkradio.org. You can find us at iamlovebuilders.com. You can also find us on Facebook and do a search for I Am Love Builders. And we'll be right back after these messages.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org. Do you need reliable international long distance that starts at only 1 cent per minute? Then call us at World TV Depot at 720-275-1355. Again, call us at 720-275-1355.
Kingdom Connection Christian Center, 10680 Delmar Parkway, Aurora, Colorado, invites you to join us every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. in the Rocky Mountain time zone for our Wednesday night Bible study. Visit us in person if you're in the Denver metro area, or view the entire service online. A link has been made available on the Spotlight page at our website, www.ctkradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Bringing light unto a dark world, Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
Welcome back to the I Am Love Builders Radio Show with your hosts, Casper and Cheryl Stockham, and our special guest, Maria Lopez. And we are having a very educational program today because we are learning the stuff that we really don't want to deal with.
Scary stuff.
Yes, but we...
But it's like an artichoke, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you getting hungry?
well, that was the explanation you gave, as opposed to being onion peeling back and you crying and stuff. It's like an artichoke. So you peel a little piece off, you have a little tasty morsel, and you keep peeling, but eventually you get to the heart of the matter.
And the heart of the matter is the sweetest part of an artichoke.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So, Maria, we are so glad to have you here to give us this enlightenment and this education, because these are things we do need to deal with. We do need to deal with them. And that leads us to our next topic I wanted to talk about, was for those of us who have baby boomers, who have parents who are at that stage in life where, you know, we need to start making plans for them. We don't want them to be exploited in any way. So talk to us a little bit about that. How do we do that?
And that's often the difficult conversation to have with parents, because as we get older, we don't necessarily, again, want to face the prospect of incapacity.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes, I may know I'm going to die, but I will never grow old, and I will never lose capacity. I will never be able. You know,
I'll never be senile.
I'll never be senile. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not necessarily senility, but a lot of times, especially again, given our society where we don't live in the same area anymore as our parents. And so consequently, you know, you're reading every day in the newspapers or hearing on the radio or on TV about financial exploitation of the elderly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the statistics show that the exploiters, the perpetrators, are usually going to be, unfortunately, family members or close friends.
Wow.
Mm.
And that is, you know, the sad part. So how do we help protect our parents against this? Well, number one is, we talked earlier about the, you know, the issue of financial powers of attorney and medical powers of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what sometimes happens is you get a rogue child, if you will. And this happens more often than not. Truth is stranger than fiction. That then it's that child then who, under the guise of the power of attorney, starts then to manipulate the parents and or starts taking their money. Had a very sad situation where that's exactly what happened. You know, the daughter had the power of attorney. One daughter did. And another complicit sibling was also helping this. They were draining dad's assets.
Oh, my goodness.
And they lived in California.
Mm.
When dad's assets were almost gone, they dumped him off here with a third sibling after pretty much all the money was gone.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And when I saw the money gone, not necessarily spent, but they had taken it out of dad's name and put it in their individual names and so forth.
Wow.
So, you know, we had a court case, you know, that became heavily litigated, and we were able to recoup some of the funds back for the father. But how do you protect against that is – stay involved with your parents, even if they are living, you know, across the state, across the country. Keep in touch and look out for some of the red flags. Some of the red flags would be if, for example, they say if they were always going to be visiting or you were going to be visiting, and all of a sudden they start saying, oh, no, you know, that won't be a good time. because, you know, my friend, my new best friend, mm-hmm. we're going somewhere or they're going to be visiting. Mm-hmm. So if they all of a sudden start minimizing their contact with you, mm-hmm. that should be a red flag, because one of the things the perpetrators will do is they will isolate them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In other words, they will say, well, whether it be a child or another, well, you know, my brother so-and-so, you know, can't really love you because he or she is never there. I'm the one who's always, I'm the only one who cares for you, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Or even the neighbor, obviously your children don't care about you mm-hmm. because they're living cross state and they only come once a year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how can they possibly be caring for you as much as I do? I'm living right next door. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, you know, I would love to take you, you know, to your doctor's appointments, but my car's broken down mm-hmm. or I need a new car mm-hmm. and I can't help you. Oh, without wow. this. Yeah. And it becomes, you know, bring out the heartstrings.
Yeah.
and that's what happens. And then it just becomes a vicious cycle. Mm. And again, unfortunately, the perpetrators are going to be those closest to the person.
Yep.
Wow.
I can see that.
That's sad.
It's sad. Mm. It's sad. And again, it amounts to just because they may have their documents in place. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that when you have these powers of attorney, you can cancel them at any time.
Wow.
Mm. Well, I know my mom changes hers every week. depending on who comes to visit. Oh, you came to visit? Okay. You're in
That she's a prime example of someone susceptible to exploitation and undue influence.
Right. Yeah, that's her major threat. Oh, I'm going to take you out of my will. We're mm-hmm. like, okay, Mom, great. Take me
out. Well, actually, I have this little cartoon that it shows that the attorney sitting behind the desk and in front of the family members after someone's passed away. Mm-hmm. And on his desk is a stack of papers. And the attorney says to the people, well, your dad did have X amount of dollars mm-hmm. that he would have left you. Mm-hmm. But see this stack, he kept changing it so many times that the money all went to attorney's fees.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I can see that.
I mean, we joke about that, but mm-hmm. that's what happens.
Wow. So we do need to make sure that our parents are protected from exploiters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And again, you know, sometimes we don't want to necessarily except the fact that your own sibling could possibly do that.
Yeah. That's heartbreaking.
That's heartbreaking. But if you just keep in touch, if mm-hmm. you see things that are all of a sudden, you know, out of the ordinary. So mm-hmm. when you come and visit, you know, why is there this new car there that the sibling who wasn't working before all of a sudden has? Yes. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're all of a sudden going on these cruises, or the neighbor next door. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden is, you know, real best friends. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times people say, well, how do I keep in touch? How do I monitor that if I'm living cross state mm-hmm. in another state? I say, well, keep in touch with the neighbors. Just say, you know, when you come visit, hi, you know, I'm so-and-so. I'm that's my mom. And if you could just do me a favor, here's my number. Mm-hmm. If you see that she needs anything, mm-hmm. call me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or if you, you know, see anything suspicious going on, could you just let me know?
So then that would take the attention off of the parent and more on the sibling. So if there was a potential exploiter that was the neighbor, they would kind of know that, oh, maybe it's the daughter that has all the money. The dad doesn't have any money.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And it takes more than a village mm. to take care of our parents nowadays.
Wow.
Because they are, as they get older, susceptible. Mm-hmm. And someone pulls at their heartstrings. Mm.
Well, Maria, I have one other thing. I know we're running out of time, but during the break, I mentioned to you something about a trust. And you looked at me and said, what type of trust? And I looked at you with a blank look and said, you mean there's more than one?
Oh, yes. It's almost like, you know, Baskin-Robbins is more than 31 flavors.
Oh, my goodness.
And so what commonly when people come in to my office, they say, well, I want a trust. Mm-hmm. And so I say to them usually, well, why don't we first discuss what it is that you're trying to accomplish? Because a trust is simply a tool, a mechanism
right.
to accomplish your end mm-hmm. results.
Right, right.
So why don't we first talk about what it is that you want to accomplish and what tools or assets that we have to get you there. Mm-hmm. And then I will then be able to tell you do you need a will-based plan or should you consider a trust-based plan? Because there shouldn't be any cookie-cutter approach to estate planning.
Right.
Because there are pros and cons to a will-based plan versus a trust-based plans. Now, that being said, the litmus test, if you will, that we should absolutely discuss a trust-based plan versus a will-based plan is this. If you own real property in more than one state, for example, you live here in Colorado, so you have your home here in Colorado. Let's say, for example, in Illinois, wherever your parents are, that you have an interest in a condo. Or you have a rental property there. All right. So if you own that property in, if you own real property in more than one state, you will then have to go through probate in two states.
Wow.
Which then that becomes expensive. So what we do then is we transfer title to those properties into your trust so that you do not have to go through probate in the two states and provides a greater centralized management and you avoid the probate costs of two states.
How expensive is it to set up a trust?
It's not so much the trust.
Okay.
For example, the analogy I will draw is if you said to a builder, well, how expensive would it be for you to build me a house?
Right.
Okay. Right. So then the builder is going to ask
depends
you.
On the materials.
The materials.
What kind of house you want.
The size of the house. You know, what bells and whistles and all of that. So there is no blanket answer to that. Okay. So that's why when you sit down and have the consult. That will then help the attorney to be able to determine, number one, do you need a trust-based plan? And what are the pros and cons of each?
Would it be based on the attorney billing by the hour to set up the trust in, or is it a package kind
Well,
of thing?
Normally, most attorneys in my field who do estate planning, we do estate planning on a flat fee basis. And that's contingent upon that. Whatever fee I quote you and whatever type of plan I quote you is based upon the information that you've given me. So if you've withheld information from me and it affects it, then obviously then that's not a fair thing. But the reason we'd like, I like to do flat fee on that is because it is so complicated. It is so emotionally wrought. I don't want you to have to worry about picking up the phone and saying, Marie, I didn't quite understand what it was you said about this. And in the background, you hear the 60 minute clock going, tick, 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 and that's the billable hour.
How much is it going to cost me now?
Exactly, to ask this question. Right. And so then you won't ask the question or you won't tell me about something because, oh, it's going to cost me more money to talk to her about this. And that's not the way it should be.
So how do our listeners get hold of you if they want to look into getting trust set up, estate planning, things like all the stuff we've been talking
about? My office is located in Cherry Creek, and the address is 3775 Cherry Creek Drive North, excuse me, 3773 Cherry Creek Drive North, Suite 575. And my telephone number is 720-434-4855.
Okay, give that telephone number again.
720-434-4855.
Okay, and do you have a website or Facebook page or any stuff like that?
We're working on the website. Okay. Facebook, it has too many legal issues don't go there. And I don't even go to my personal Facebook page.
I hear you. All right. Well, it's been awesome having my
friend. Your
in
friend,
studio.
Maria.
Maria.
Yes, Maria. Thank you, Casper's friend, for stopping by and spending time with us today. Hopefully, you can come back again because we have more questions and I'm sure our listeners have more questions.
I would love the opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So, you're listening to I Am Love Builders with Casper Michelle Stockham at IamLoveBuilders.com. We are broadcasting on Christ the King World Radio, CTKRadio.org, and we will see you on the next show.
A brand new day. This morning, stepping on my way. Good morning.
Christ the King Radio is the internet broadcast outreach ministry of World Media Ministries, a 501c3 corporation, and Christ the King Radio Ministries. The goal of Christ the King Radio is to follow the command found in Mark 16:15. To go into all the world, preaching the good news to everyone, everywhere. Not just teaching about the power, glory, and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also to provide positive, encouraging information
on how to promote and maintain healthy interpersonal relationships and business practices. At this time, Christ the King Radio needs not only your prayers, but your financial support. To help us continue to bring the light unto a dark world, please visit one of the donate links conveniently located on either of our website, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. Your tax-deductible gift, no matter how small, will go a long way in helping us to continue to reach God's people and to promote the kingdom of God here on earth. Your gift is tax-deductible, and you will receive an electronic receipt when you donate via the links on one of our websites, www.worldmediaministries.org or ctkradio.org. On behalf of the staff and management, thanks again for listening to and supporting Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.
World TV Depot supports Christ the King Radio at ctkradio.org.